They gave me cartels today. I guess we chant something. Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vara Dhari Jaya Gopi Jana Vallabha Giri Vara Dhari Jashodanandana Rajajana Ranjana Jashodanandana Rajajana Ranjana Jamuna Tira Vanachari Munati Ravana Chadi Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Bihari Jaya Radha Madhava Bihari Jai Om Vishnupad Punamansa Paribraj Kacharja Stotra Siddhashri Srimad A.C. Bhakti Vedanta Swami Maharaj Prabhupad Ki Jai Jai Om Vishnupad Punamansa Paribraj Kacharja Stotra Siddhashri Srimad Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Goswami Maharaj Prabhupada Ki Jai Ananta Koti Vaishnavrinda Ki Jai Nama Charja Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai Prem Sakaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasadi Gaur Bhaktavrinda Ki Jai Sri Sri Radha Krishna Gop Gopinath Sham Kunadadha Kunigiri Govardhan Ki Jai Vrindavan Tham ki jai, Navadip Tham ki jai, Jagannath Puri ki jai, Ganga Mai ki jai, Jamana Mai ki jai, Tulsi Devi ki jai, Bhakti Devi ki jai, Samaveta Bhaktavrinda ki jai, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, all glories to the assembled devotees, Gaur Premanande. Om Ajnana Timirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshurin Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Jena Putale Swayam Rupa Kada Mahyam Tathati Shapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Jatapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Shagrashatam Sahagana Raghunatan Vitamstam Sajivam Shadvaitam Shabhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Shahagana Lalita Sri Vishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kam Shana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Prishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpitarubhyascha Kripa Sindho Vyayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Vajagadisha Kame Mama Janmani Janmani Shade Bhavatad Bhaktir Vaituki Toi. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying to the Lord for pure devotional service. He negates the aspirations of material life. Nadanam. Dana means wealth. People are interested. Even they go to church, and their hope is that while they go to church, before or after the sermon, they'll get to network with people and find opportunities for business collaboration. Selling something, buying something. Temples, churches, mosques. People are interested in money. Or even when they're inside the temple or the church or the mosque, they're praying to the Lord, Oh Lord, I'm in need of money. Artarti. Artarti, the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says four kinds of people come to me. Pious people. Sukriti, Sukritina. Four kinds of pious people come to me. Those who are distressed, those who are curious, those who are looking for knowledge, and those who are in need of money. They pray to the Lord, give us our daily bread, or they pray to the Lord for prosperity in one way or another. Or they don't even pray to the Lord, they pray to some lesser divinity, to demigod. Vishnu is very slow in giving wealth, but you're very easily pleased, please. We're in need of more money. Praying to Ganesh, please remove all obstacles that stand in the way of profit. Well, people are very much interested in money, either out of greed or out of necessity. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu approaches the Lord and says, Nadanam, I don't want money. Dhruva Maharaj also approached the Lord for wealth, for a kingdom. But Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I don't want wealth, I don't want money. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur comments that dana also means pious credit and what you can get from that. People are seeking, all right, I'm not praying for wealth, I'm praying for punya. I'm going to the temple to get pious credit. But then that pious credit means, like any credit, with your credit you can spend. So I can get beauty, or I can get wealth, or I can get educational advancement, or I can get family happiness, or I can get birth in a higher planet, be promoted to heaven. So people are seeking, if not immediate crass cash wealth, money in the bank, they're seeking to increase their pious credit with the view toward spending that credit for enjoyment. So taking it either way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has no such interest. Nadanam. And Nadjanam. Jana means people, followers. That's a strong desire. People want to, perhaps not everyone, but there are those who are very, that's their goal, is to have many followers. We see our followers increasing, then we feel happiness. Kind of like a gunslinger with his the notches on his gun. He's got one, he's got 10, he's got 15. He's watching the number go up, just as a businessman watches his numbers go up on his balance sheet. So someone else is not so concerned with money, but he's concerned with followers. He's increasing the numbers. And the more the numbers increase, the more he feels that he's going somewhere. Or it may not be numbers of followers, just having followers who will fawn over me. I'll say, oh Maharaj, that was so wonderful. Oh Maharaj, just to be in your presence gives me transcendental happiness. Oh Maharaj this, oh Maharaj that. Mm-hmm. Then he gets pleasure, yes, they love me. Or janam, combining janam and dunam, if I have followers, the more I have followers, the more I have wealth. We were discussing privately that among some sects of the Gaudiya Vaishnavas, it's more or less understood, Goswami and Goswami line, that the Goswami will go to a particular place and he'll initiate people, and those become his people. And they'll express their devotional affiliation by giving regular support in the form of donations, and that will keep the establishment going, that will keep things running. So, and each Goswami will have his area and his people and bring in a certain quota of cash. And he'll time to time visit the followers and give some instructions. And so it's a sort of an arrangement. Combining dunam and janam. Or one is concerned about one's security. You know, who will you still need me? Will you still feed me? Well, what will I do in my old age? Well, if I have some disciples, if I have some followers, then that's my safety net. I may not have social security, but I have 5 or 10 or 50 or 100 or more disciples, and they'll certainly see toward my welfare. So now I don't have any disciples. I'd better make some before I get too old. But that may be there also. Dunam, janam, or one wants to have influence. Well, if I have a lot of people on my side, then I can get my way because I have influence. Jana. The public is on my side. Dunam, janam, wealth, followers, and the pride that comes with having followers. Either don't make the people make followers one way or another, either by initiating them or procreating them. Jana also means people that way, my people.
So my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, that's also security. My grandchildren will look after me, or else they'll give me affection and love and da-da-da-da-da. So one is looking forward to seeing the grandchildren, the great-grandchildren. And that's his life, to visit the children, visit the grandchildren, hear from them, and how are they doing, and give some advice, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So jhana, people. Dhanam, jhanam, and sundarim. Sundarim means beauty, beautiful women. Sundari. Sundari kavita, poetic young girl, and beautiful. Sometimes people look for a package: money, followers, women, all three, all of the above. A man who has money and followers can attract women. If you don't have much money or influence, women are less interested. But if you're a big man and you have money and followers, then women can also be among the followers. That's another opportunity. So, licitly or illicitly, one's seeking the association of a beautiful woman, or more than one. People are not happy if they have one beautiful woman, they want five. Or sundari kavita can also mean beautiful poetry. Some people are attached to soccer and cricket, and some people are attached to business, and some people are attached to literature. And they're not very much concerned with money, they're not very much concerned with followers, but they can't get the great poets out of their mind. As soon as there's a beautifully written novel or a story or play or poem, they just can't resist. And Dante, Shakespeare, and others. So attractive, beautiful, sundari. This literature is beautifully written and poetic. And that it has nothing to do with Krishna doesn't matter, but it's so beautiful and it's so poetic. And one becomes fascinated. As one becomes fascinated by wealth or fascinated by women, one can be fascinated by poetry and literature. Generally, women are more fascinating, or sometimes one puts the two together, an interest in poetry and women. The Prophet said poet means young girls. There are many examples of poets. Practically, that's their interest, is verse and perverse. Verse and young women. Prabhupada mentioned some great Bengali Nobel Prize winning poet who wrote poetry praising the Lord, but whose real interest, Prabhupada said, and he knew, was young girls. There's many, many, many examples of poets, and their poets also attract young girls sometimes. Some girls are attracted to money, some are attracted to the idea of a poetic young man, or a poetic older man also. Poetic men are attracted to women, and women are attracted to poetic. unpoetic men. Unpoetic women are attracted to unpoetic men, and men and women are attracted to one another.
Generally, people, these attractions are there. Or another kavita is fruitive activities. Yam imam pushpitam vacham prabhadanti avipaschitaha. Veda bhadarata partana nidasti divana. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, there's another kind of poetry. The flowery words of the Vedas, pushpitam vacham. And readers of Vedic literature, whom Krishna describes as childish, avipaschit, are attracted to this, the flowery language describing akamatmana svarga para, describing sense enjoyment and the pleasures of higher planets. They're attracted to these things. The description is so enchanting that people become attracted to that, to the results of fruitive activities. We read in the Vedic literature, by worshipping this god, you can get this. By worshipping that god, you can get that. By performing this yajna, you can get this. By performing that yajna, you can get that. You can get a long lifetime. You can get physical strength. You can get health. You can get family happiness. You can have children. You can have public regard. You can have... You can have, you can have, you can go to heaven and live for thousands of years. And these, what is that? If fall is described, the fruit of performing this sacrifice is this, the fruit of performing that sacrifice. And so people are performing austerities, people are performing sacrifices, people are performing rituals with the idea of getting some material blessing. Or the same thing, people are going to the church or the temple and they hear that by living a devoted life they'll be prosperous. God will shower his blessings upon them in the form of material enjoyment. So people, pious people, see God in that way as the supplier of their material needs or their material wants, and so they pray to the Lord, or they live a good life so that God will smile upon them. And when God smiles upon them, then all the good things in life will come with it. And generally that means motivated. They're praying to God for something. They want something. Bhukti mukti siddhi kami. They want sense enjoyment. They want liberation. They want mystic powers. They want success in their exams. They want so many things. That there's some motive. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays, I have no such motive. Nadhanam, I don't want money. Najanam, followers. Na sundarim kavita. Then what do you want? Mama janmani janmani shire bhavatad bhaktir vaitakita. I also don't want liberation. The goal of the Gyanis is to get liberation from material existence. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu says, I also don't care about liberation. Because janmani janmani. I don't mind if I take birth again and again, but bhavatad bhaktir ohetaki tvai. My goal is ohetaki bhakti. Ahoituki means without any cause, without any motive. Hetu. Hetu means cause or purpose. Ahoituki. Ahoituki bhakti. Without any purpose, without any motive.
devotional service for its own sake. I just want to serve you. Generally, if someone comes and offers service, the question is, what do you want? I want a salary, or I have some political agenda, or we'll work for food. Someone comes and he spontaneously starts shining, right, cleaning your windshield. It's understood that he's not just a public servant, but he wants something. In the airports, in different countries, even people who come forward with carts, all they want to do something for you, but that's all right. Because you know that as soon as you accept service from them, they want something in exchange for the service. A man does something for a woman, or a woman does something for a man. It's not, no strings attached. Now that we expect reciprocation in the service, we want something. He's bringing her flowers, not just because he thinks that such a beautiful girl ought to have flowers. There's some motive. Everyone, the whole world is working for some self-centered motive, either immediately self-centered or larger extended selfishness. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, ahaitaki bhakti, anya abhilashita shunyam, jnana karmajana vritam, no other interest. Anya bilashita shunya. Shunya means zero. Nothing. Jnana karma adi. Jnana means mental speculation, usually with the aim of getting liberation. And karma means work for material profit, sense enjoyment. Adi and so on. Mystic powers, this, that. Anavritam. No mixture. There are different kinds of devotional service, mixed devotional service, jnana mishra bhakti, karma mishra bhakti. But kevala bhakti, pure devotional service, is the goal for which Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is praying. Mama janmani janmani. If I live in this world, birth after birth, that's all right. I just want to be engaged in service. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur also says, I don't care about being born as Brahma. That's not my interest. If I can be born in the house of a devotee, that's something. That means I'll get the opportunity to hear, to render some service. Well, that's Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's goal, Jagadisha. He's praying to the Lord as the controller of the universe, Jagadisha. Isha means the controller, Isha Avasya Midam Sarva. And Jagat means the universe. The materialists are so poor that they don't acknowledge that there's a Jagadisha. Asatyam apratishtam te jagadahur anishuram aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kamohaitukam. They say that the world is unreal. Strawberry fields, nothing is real. The world is just an illusion. Or the world is whatever you make it. Create your own reality. There's no actual reality. Reality is whatever you think it is, whatever you make it to be. Asatyam apratishta. There's no absolute basis for anything. Things just are. The world just is. Existence just exists. The laws of nature reign supreme. There's nothing beyond matter. Asatyam apratishtam te. Jagadahur, Anishra. They say that there's, they come out, there's no God in control. There's no need of a God. Of course, people are entitled to their superstitions and beliefs, but a rational person knows that there's no God, no old man sitting in a throne pulling the strings. That's stupid. The demonic mentality. There's no God. Matter just works on its own. They'll rant on and on. Claim it's scientific. Of course, Prabhupada challenged them. That you, all right, you demonstrate your life coming from matter. Give me your list, which chemicals you want. I'll provide the chemicals, you provide the life. And probably they'll say that, yes, in the future, post-dated check. They have no example that life has come from matter. They have no actual explanation. You know, on the surface, they can say something that sounds good, but if you dig down and ask for a comprehensive explanation of how consciousness develops from matter, they're bankrupt. They don't have it. All they have is their conviction. There's no God. Because if there's God, then we're accountable. If there's no God in control, then what is it? While the cat's away, the mice will play. The little rats want to play, so they want to imagine there's no cat. But Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is nowhere in that neighborhood. Jagadish, he accepts that there's the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who's the controller of the entire cosmic manifestation. Jagadish. In the next verse, he'll address the Jagadish. Nanda Tanuja, you're not only the Jagadisha, the controller of the universe, but you're the son of Nanda Maharaj also. Generally, people, if they're pious, they go as far as Jagadisha, the Lord of the universe. Thinking of the Lord in relationship to their universe, and whatever we see is controlled by him. But they don't know what's beyond. And they don't know what the Lord is doing beyond the universe. Therefore, they have that idea God is in heaven pulling the strings of your children think that way. He's pushing buttons or pulling strings. Or somehow or other, he's controlling the universe. But what else does he do? Does that how God is? Is that what God occupies himself with? Management. Chief executive officer of the universe? Is that his supreme function? What else does he do? They don't know. He runs the universe, and sometimes now and then, perhaps for diversion, or he'll smite some people. Or he gets involved in the world and protects his faithful and annihilates the godless. But what does he do beyond this world? World is temporary. But that is a higher understanding that we find in the next verse, Nanda Tanuja Kinkara, that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prays not only to be the servant of Jagadisha, but more specifically, the servant of Nanda Tanuja. the son of Nanda Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Okay, what questions today?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, eternity is there, but then in material world we have time, and another is money, and these two are troubling anywhere you go, to the extent even sannyasi has to keep account. So unless we become Babaji or something. So how long, I mean, what is exactly a way out?
Sannyasis are keeping accounts of their time and money so as not to waste it. Sannyasi doesn't think that unless I'm doing business, how will I live? Krishna is providing. But for Krishna's service, he's collecting money this way or that way. That's a different thing. The materialist is after money, and the sannyasi is after money. One time, Srila Prabhupada said, now I have to go all over the world and flatter my leaders so they'll give me money. He wanted to publish books and build them. So now I have to go all over the world and flatter my leaders so they'll give me money. So the sannyasi also wants money sometimes. And the householder wants money. But the householder wants money for his own enjoyment, materialistic household. And sannyasi wants money for Krishna's enjoyment. Bhaktivinoda Thakur was going house to house begging some money to build a temple for Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. It wasn't his own business. He must have been keeping accounts also. This was the collection, this was the expenditure. But that's not Maya. That's Krishna's business. Time also. Materialist is looking to have a good time. He's looking forward to the weekend where he'll get some opportunity for enjoyment. Or he's looking forward to working more, time and a half for overtime. His time should be spent profitably for sense enjoyment. And devotee is also very attentive to time. Avyartha kala tvam. He doesn't want to waste a moment of time. Why? Because time is money and he's losing money. It's for Krishna's business. Prabhupada was keeping a diary, how the day was spent. The goal is how the time should be spent for Krishna. So time is there, money is there, microphones are there, buildings are there, everything's there. For the materialist, it's all for his own enjoyment, individual or collective. And for the devotee, it's for Krishna's service. If he gets more or he gets less, it's not in his own account. Prabhupada gives the example of the bank teller. However much he or she counts, it's not his profit or loss. It's his duty, that's all. Keeping track of the money. Not that if I got $10,000 over the counter today, now I'd be, wow! That doesn't affect my balance at all. So a devotee may make $1 million, he may spend $1 million, may engage his time this way, that time, but it's all for Krishna's service, not for his personal profit.
Sometimes, Maharaj, when we think like that, this is my personal observation for myself, whenever we think like that, sometimes I consider that for me as a procrastination, like, say, for example, you don't monitor something so closely.
Okay. I didn't say don't monitor. I said monitor for Krishna. Prabhupada was monitoring so closely, you know, 10 cents for this, 15 cents for that. The devotees were keeping accounts. Prabhupada would see a discrepancy of a few rupees, and the person would have to go through hoops to find out where those few rupees went. Yeah, I mean, it was like 25 cents maybe. Prabhupada would send him, you know, through all the books. Why is this discrepancy there? Not the Prabhupada's, you know, what's a rupee this way or that way? Prabhupada's like more attentive than most businessmen, because it's Krishna's money. That everything belongs to Krishna means, well, everything belongs to Krishna. No, not that I become inattentive. I become more attentive. It's Krishna's business. Is that okay?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Actually, this question relates to yesterday's class. Is that okay? You mentioned that we should develop a mood of abject humility.
Mm.
But isn't this ultimately too much consideration about our conditional position? Because surely humility or pride is still something which is conditional.
Why?
Because our eternal nature is
infinitesimal. To be absolutely humble. Totally submissive to Krishna. That's our absolute nature. And our relative nature is to be more or less in control. To have it together. To be able to do something by my own power. But humble is, what can I do? Everything depends on Krishna. So, and what credit do I have? What power do I have? Only what Krishna gives me. Humility is real, and pride is false. You know, I'm good looking, I'm powerful, I'm this, I'm that. What good looking? You slap together batch of mucus, bile, and air, bag, painted a little bit. You're so beautiful, so handsome. And it's a farce. You're wealthy. What wealth do you have? And people are proud. Even the pauper is proud of his penny. But this is the disease. Everybody's got something. But the devotee, pure devotee, is totally dependent on Krishna. He recognizes he can't do anything without Krishna. Not a blade of grass will move without Krishna's desire. Prabhupada prayed to Krishna, if you like, you can make them dance. You can make me dance. You can make them hear. You can make me able to speak. Praying to Krishna, what can I do? Who am I? You brought me here. You must have some idea of doing something. So please do that. I'm your instrument.
Thank you for that point, because I think sometimes in our own head, we think, oh, I can't do that, no Prabhu, I'm not capable. But ultimately, is it a mood of, if Krishna wants it to happen, it will happen, and if Krishna doesn't want it.
Humble doesn't mean that you have to have to be incompetent. That's also there, that when any of these devotional sentiments become an obstacle to devotional service, then they're unwanted. Then they become a form of indulgence, self-indulgence. I'm too fallen. I can't chant, I'm too fallen. What's that? That's stupid. If you're too fallen, then chant. But no, I'm too fallen to chant. That's overindulgence, because it's an obstacle to making any progress in devotional service. I may be fallen, but let me chant. For Rupa Goswami, what is that? Utsaha, nishchaya, dharya. That, all right, I may be fallen, but anyway, let me hope that Krishna will help me. So if one becomes humble, oh, I'm too low, I can't do, I'm too low to serve. So I might as well go to sleep. becomes an impediment to devotional service. Prahlad Maharaj, he thought that who am I? All the demigods have prayed to the Lord. They couldn't pacify him. And who am I? I'm the son of a demon. But anyway, even an elephant prayed to the Lord and got salvation. So let me try.
Hey, Krishna Maharaj. First, thank you again for these wonderful classes. So many practical examples and insights. I do appreciate it. I was wondering, you were talking specifically about our involvement in mundane activities and craving sense enjoyment. As a householder wanting to raise children, children want to be involved in mundane activities. How stern should we be in regulating their sense enjoyment?
Well, of course, I'm not the great authority on child raising. It's somewhat outside the sphere of my expertise. But generally we see that children are spoiled. In the modern atmosphere, they want so much. You know, they have to have toys, and they have to have electronic toys, and they have to have super electronic toys, and they have to have a 28-inch monitor and a internet connection so that they can play multi-user games across the world, and they want this and they want that. And the parents think that unless I give it to him, he'll cry or whatever. But the child doesn't become any happier. And it's only a question of time. It's already the scientific assessments are coming in that kids are getting a cuckoo because they're spending too much time attached to, plugged in. And they become diverted from any higher purpose. And not a bit happier. We see in India or in other countries that a child has got a little wheel and he's got a stick with a nail at the end of it and he's pushing the wheel with the stick and he's very happy. He's not any less happy than the kid with the video game or the Xbox or the PlayStation or what have you. Not slightly less happy. And if his wheel breaks, it's easy to get another one. If the stick breaks, you pick up another one on the side of the road. They're happy. Krishna was playing on Govardhan Hill and fruits and clay. They decorate themselves with clay. They had a great time without all these invented games and devices. Apart from having a good time on the cheap or with what Krishna has provided, the human life is not meant for sense gratification. And therefore, our children should be guided from the beginning of life as to its actual purpose. Education means education in actual values. Even, and you look at any country and it's great, when its children are trained in that way very seriously. Of course, now, still, Indian children are very serious, but they're serious that from the age of 3, they have to start going to classes so that they won't be, they'll be competitive in their exams. You know, so they undergo great austerities. Every kid would rather play, but they're hitting the books and all of that. But for what purpose? Just to become competitive shudras, to be employees. But that's another act of Maya, another trick of Maya, that the kid should be dealt with very strictly and disciplined so that he can become an effective shudra. it's Maya. Brahmachari Gurukule Vasandanta Guru Arhita. The Vedic culture is that the child would be sent to the place of the guru to become a slave, to learn how to become a menial servant, and danta, to control his senses. Now you get these big, big men, they're in the highest positions, and they can't control their senses any better, any more than a dog can. So what's the use of being head of this or head of that, president of this or CEO of that, if you're no better than a dog? So Prabhupada taught that from the very beginning, the children should be trained in spiritual culture. It doesn't mean that your life becomes miserable. They're happy, actually. Prabhupada said they'll go to the Jamuna in procession and they'll have fun. They'll consider it enjoyment. Consider it enjoyment. To worship the deity, to cook, to serve the spiritual master. It becomes enjoyment. Ramasokyam tunantam, but it becomes unlimited enjoyment. And the undisciplined life becomes misery. What was I just reading about or hearing about? I forget. Anyway, some other rich person who committed suicide or this. The world is full of such stories. You know, the child has everything and needs nothing and is totally miserable because he has no spiritual understanding, no self-control. Spoiled. So it's meant for discipline. And the discipline is meant for spiritual realization. Otherwise, just discipline for material advancement. And then you become no better than a donkey. A donkey also gets lots of discipline. But he's an ass. Okay?
Thank you, Maharaj.
Hey, Krishna Maharaj. Yesterday in the Mahabharata seminar, I wanted to ask a question. Is that okay? I can ask now?
It's okay with me if you wanted to ask a question yesterday in the seminar. But
there was no time that time. So, Krishna in Bhagavad Gita, he says that people who die at this time, they achieve this, and then, but a devotee doesn't need to worry about all those things. But in the Mahabharata class yesterday, Maharaj was talking about Vastu.
Vastu?
Vastu Shastra. Like if the house is towards east, then it's auspicious, spiritual. If towards north, then it's prosperity. So a devotee, should he, in that connection, should he worry about all those things, astrology and Vastu?
That's the conclusion. Krishna says, if you leave at this time, you go to the... you attain perfection. Shukla Krishna Gati Hete. What is that? Shashvate Mate. Shukla Krishna Gati Hete. Jagata Shashvate Mate Ekaya Yachanavritim Anyaya Vartate Puna. If you go at this time, you attain perfection. If you go at that time, you come back. Naite Shriti Partajanan Yogi Muyati Kaschana. But a devotee is never bewildered. Yogi is never bewildered. He can leave at any time. Tasmat Sarveshu Kaleshu Yoga Yukta Bhavarj. Therefore, become a devotee. The bird flew in. Bird flew in and died?
No. Banging itself around.
Let him come. So few people who want to hear. The devotee, it doesn't matter. You can leave at any time. Krishna says, don't worry, you just talk to what is that? Daneshu yad punya palam pradishtam matyaiti tat sarvamidam vedeshu yageshu tapashu chayva daneshu yad punya palam pradishtam matyaiti tat sarvamidam viditva yogi param stahanam paiti chayva. There are so many people who are following the Vedas and cultivating knowledge and doing tapasya and giving charity and this and that. But simply by being engaged in devotional service, one surpasses all of these. Param sthanam upayati chayam, and attains supreme eternal perfection. When Haridas Thakur was chanting Hare Krishna, it didn't matter if he was facing east, west, north, or south. We saw Prabhupada built so many temples and didn't consult a single Vastu expert. And our Bangalore temple was built exactly to, according to Vastu, and look what a mess we have there.
Is that same true for astrology too?
Same thing for astrology too. If you're engaged in devotional service, even the worst stars will turn good. And if you're not engaged in devotional service, all your good stars are bad news. I can give my personal example. I have in my chart some very unfortunate things, really bad signs. I'll never be blessed to live at home. I'll have no family happiness. Outlook for children is bleak. I'll have interrupted education. Yeah, so this is like a disaster chart.
Maybe chart may be wrong.
The chart is right. It's right on. Chart is exactly right. But by Srila Prabhupada's mercy, all those bad things become very good. I don't have to waste my time with a batch of nasty children. I don't have any wife to worry about. I can travel anywhere in the world and spread Krishna consciousness and be engaged in devotional service. I didn't have to waste my time with a batch of stupid facts and figures and exams and professors.
Biggest and the best family.
Yeah. So Krishna takes all your stars, and if he desires, your unfavorable stars become favorable. And if you're not Krishna conscious, then Shramay Bhikkhavam, then all your good stars are useless. And he becomes famous, he becomes rich, he has a nice family, he's like a silkworm bound in his cocoon, and the silk merchant comes and says, oh, what, throws him in the oil. So the real thing we care, the planet we care about is called Krishna Graha. You know, there's so many planets, Shani and this one and that one, Surya. But Krishna Graha, when the influence of the Krishna planet is there, it's the most powerful planet in any chart. It overcomes the influence of all other planetary manifestations. So we may sometimes consult an astrologer, we may sometimes consult a Vastu guy, or we may sometimes consult a doctor, or we may sometimes consult a this, but finally it's Krishna. If you're not Krishna conscious, all the Vastu and astrology in the world won't help you. And if you're Krishna conscious, nothing can harm you. Is that okay?
My first question is...
But the microphones have to be held near you, otherwise they're just decorations.
In practicing like this verse, as Nadanam Najanam, that's our goal. But as practicing devotees, how do we practically apply on a day-to-day basis or a minute-to-minute in our life?
By remembering Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his instructions. Mm-hmm.
the more you advance in Krishna consciousness, the more you'll understand that finally everything's up to Krishna. You can work and work and work, and if Krishna doesn't desire, you won't make a penny. You'll lose money. And if Krishna desires, you'll be in the worst crisis, and Krishna will save you. Krishna says there are five factors in the accomplishment of any activity. Adhisthanam tata karta karanam cha pratag vidha vividhas cha pratag cheshta daivam cha vatra panchama. 18th chapter. The place, the worker, the person who's doing something, the different tools or instruments, especially the senses, the different kinds of endeavor that you put into it, daiva chaiva trupancham, and finally, daiva, the hand of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Lord Krishna says, anyone who thinks that the other things are what bring about the accomplishment of an action doesn't see. He's got it wrong. He's a fool. Where is it? Sharira van manobhir yat karma pravrabhate naraha nayam vavi paritam va panchaite tasyahetu. Whatever there is in the world that happens, it's brought about by these things, whether you work with your body, mind, words, all these five have to be taken into account. Tatraivam satikartaram atmanam kevalam tuyaha pashyatya akritabuddhitvan nasa pashyati durmati. If he only sees himself and thinks, I am the doer, then he's a fool. We have to see that everything's finally up to Krishna. Now I'll do my part, whatever my duty is. But the result is up to Krishna. Not that everything's up to Krishna, I won't do anything. Everything's up to Krishna, so Arjuna can go sleep and, you know, call me when the battle's over. He has to fight, but finally it's up to Krishna. Krishna said, I already killed all these people, so you can know the outcome in advance. But whether we know the outcome, don't know the outcome, we do our duty, and then the rest is up to Krishna. Yeah, we're attached. So therefore we have to chant Hare Krishna and think of Krishna and become purified. It's understood that we're all attached. That's what we're doing here. So we have a process for developing detachment or developing attachment to Krishna.
My next question is, nowadays we hear a lot about cloning.
Cloning.
How does the soul, I'm sorry, I have no clue about that area. So how does this, is there a soul when they clone?
Where there's life, there's soul. Cloning, that was done by Lord Indra a long time ago. He entered the womb of Diti, and he cut the embryo because he thought this child is going to be my enemy. So he cut it up. And how many? 49 pieces. And each one became a child. They said, hey, we're your brothers, don't kill us. Maruts. So such things are there. But it doesn't mean that Indra created the life. He just divided up the physical bodily parts and the life entered. If you make a big pile of rice and leave it on the dock in the sun for days and days, scorpions will come out.
but it doesn't mean that you created the scorpions. The mother scorpion will go and lie in the rice, and then the scorpions, baby scorpions, will come out. But the foolish person is thinking the rice produced the scorpions. So the materialist is thinking that the body produces the consciousness. And the enlightened person knows that the body is there, the soul enters. Bodies are created different ways. Some by eggs, some by embryos, some from seeds. That one Muni decided it would be a good idea to create life from coconuts. Who is that? Prabhupada. Anyway, one Muni. Why should children have to be born this complicated way? We just have them come from coconuts. So, one way or another way, but the life is not created by matter. The life enters the material environment.
Completing this thing, that Indra cut the embryo in, 50 pieces. So, in one hand, the soul cannot be divided or cut. So, it descended from...
Yeah, therefore it's understood. It's not that there was one soul, and then that one soul was divided into 50. But the body was divided into 50, and then 50 souls came and said, okay.
So they came from...
Yeah. Yeah.
I remember hearing a morning walk with Srila Prabhupada, and this same question came up about cloning. And one devotee said, well, the scientists, they won't debate the idea of the soul, but they'll say, well, if we can create the preconditions for life to come, so say if we can start some cloning mechanism, we're not debating whether a jiva does or doesn't come. We're actually not interested in that. That's just conjecture. But we're saying that we can create the preconditions for that. So in our eyes, we are creating life.
That's foolish.
So
I become a developer and I create, a whole hillside full of houses. And then when the people come and move into the houses, I say, I created life.
But, I mean, I was thinking, is another way of looking at it, even that you...
More people think that way in ordinary, they have sex and they think that they created life. Closer to home, yeah. Yeah, they think that, that they've created life. They've created a new person. They believe that.
But could another perspective be that if you yourself have consciousness, then in fact you still haven't proven that life comes from matter, because the aspect of consciousness has still been involved. You can't explain the creation of your consciousness, so the basis of your consciousness is actually created.
You can't prove the creation of any consciousness, yours or anyone else's. We're waiting. If you've got some proof that you can create consciousness, by all means, you're welcome. But so far, post-data checks and demonstrations of something other than what you said was being demonstrated. The famous, what is it, Morsi, is it? Famous experiment, where they bombarded a soup with x-rays or ultraviolet rays, and they got, prebiotic chemicals. So, what did you prove? You created the proof that you could take chemicals and get more chemicals. And that's trotted out as being proof that life can be created from matter. Give me a break. People just don't get it. I mean, where people get wrong, imagine. No, it's already been shown in the laboratory. And then they trot that one out.
So they tried to recreate the Big Bang, but surely the whole point of
it. I haven't heard.
They did it in an underground experiment.
Bang wasn't loud enough.
Hare Krishna Maharaj. Maharaj, it says that body is a garment of a soul. So what I'm trying to understand is, like, before the parent cell get united, is it the soul already present, or it enters right?
That's explained in third canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. The living being, or the consciousness, is present in the seed of the father and injected into the womb of the mother. Okay. And then from the mother's body, the ingredients, further ingredients for the body are supplied.
So body forms around the soul?
Yeah.
A couple things were said, triggered things off for me. With this cloning thing, a worm, and you have an adult worm, and you cut it in half. You have two worms, right? So imagine a soul enters the other half where of the worm, right? But developmentally, how does that work? I mean,
developmentally, it's physical. Physical development is physical.
So it's a mature
worm. I think the same thing.
I'm sorry?
Starfish, I think you find the same thing.
Is it?
I've heard.
Oh, so you have a mature worm or starfish, and then the soul just enters now. So is it still at the mature stage? Does it have to go through this childhood? Do you know what I mean? Like the thing.
There are different ways of birth. We mentioned it, but from seeds, from embryos, from eggs. So there are different ways that the physical opportunity is created.
Mm-hmm.
However, it's created this way, that way, the other way, from coconuts or from seeds. So then the living being enters.
Because it's the split second that worm is cut, it's alive.
So that's not a problem for, you know, timing is not a problem for these things.
I imagine that. Okay. The second thing that came to mind about whatever Krishna wants will happen. What should we be praying at all for anything, even like for spiritually for others, well-being? Or if
that's an interesting question. The main thing we should be praying for is pure devotional service for ourselves and for others. Prahlad Maharaj has a prayer like that. It's in Srimad Bhagavatam, may the whole world be happy in devotional service. First we'll pray, you know, may I be engaged in devotional service.
Mm-hmm.
And then if we're more broad-minded, we pray that others may be engaged. We're concerned about the welfare of others. That's the real thing. Materialists are interested in the material upliftment of others. Food, medical help, clothing, housing, and so on. A devotee is concerned about the spiritual welfare of others. He knows that material welfare is not actually real welfare. It comes and goes and doesn't signify very much. So he wants others to be happy in devotional service, service who came about to. And that's his thinking. So he may pray like that. Probably would sometimes write that I'm praying to Krishna for your advancement in devotional service. Something like that. Generally, people want saintly persons to pray for their material advancement. You know, they need some ashirvad, some benediction. The benediction is that my son may pass his exams, or my wife may regain her health, or this or that or the other thing. And we never find a problem, but, you know, so yes, I'll pray for that your son will get flying colors on his exams, or that your wife will recover her health and provide sense gratification for you as before. Prabhupada's interest was that people would become Krishna conscious. Now the question is, do we pray to Krishna, you know, I need help in some winning affair. I'm starving, I'm in difficulty. Interesting question.
In one sense, it's natural. Just like Bhakti Janma, he was praying to Krishna in difficulty. He didn't say, well, this isn't pure devotional service, so I'm just going to keep fighting the crocodile. He surrendered to Krishna, my dear Lord, I'm at the end, you please help me. In Vrindavan, all the devotees, when they're in difficulty, they just spontaneously pray to Krishna. There's demons there, or whatever is there. The devotee naturally turns toward Krishna. But in the highest, the more advanced the devotee, the less he's praying for ordinary things which come of their own accord anyway.
I guess I have mostly in mind a less crass scenario where you're praying to the Lord to minimize someone's suffering, say.
That's the same thing. It, may the person be engaged in emotional service that minimizes suffering down to zero.
Do you think there may be some influence? Like Srila Prabhupada said, if you want to pray for me, if you desire,
yeah,
right. So there may be some influence that way.
Oh, is the question what influence does prayer have? Does prayer work? Does prayer function? Is that the question?
Well, all right. Short of even in conjunction with someone's to be engaged in devotional service, and also maybe someone is in the hospital right now. They're in excruciating pain. Please relieve them of their pain. Is there some? Is Krishna?
You don't really need to pray to God for that. You can, you know, demo all will do the trick.
Sometimes,
or something like that.
Yeah.
But therefore, the devotee really knows that nothing will help someone other than devotional service. Ultimately, and we can pray that the person have less pain, but finally, he'll get as much pain as karma ordains. There's so many people suffering. If we start praying for this one and that one, you know, this one doesn't have enough food, and this one has too much food, and this one's got a mental problem, and this one's got lost his home, and this one's wife, and that one's husband, and you know, start praying for everybody's problems. There's no limit to them, and there's whole religious institutions that are dedicated to receiving petitions from people with their laundry list of problems and praying to God. You know, sometimes it's organized. You know, get 100,000 people to pray for you, and whatever it is, so that your material problem can be solved. In Africa, there's so much preaching goes on the basis of prosperity. You know, God doesn't want you to be poor. That's not our program. Once you're poor, you're poor. Our program is that the only solution for all miseries is devotional service. The question was, how does one become fearless at the point of death? Sukadeva Goswami didn't say, you know, three white ones and two pink ones. Chanting the holy name of the Lord, hearing about Krishna. There was some girl in Vrindavan. I heard from Harishari Prabhu, one young girl, devotee girl, you know, maybe teenage or pre-teenage girl, and she was diagnosed with something or other, and she was going to die. And she came to Vrindavan. And I guess along with her parents, she came to see Prabhupada. Prabhupada didn't give her an ounce of material sympathy. not an ounce of material sympathy, just gave her the message of Krishna consciousness.
Because Krishna loves us devotees so much, it seems like that if we pray for someone, you know, their spiritual advancement, it seems like a lot of times Krishna helps that person, you know, because we ask for it. And I can't remember the name of the devotee in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that had so much compassion. Didn't Lord Chaitanya say the whole world was delivered because of that?
The devotee Srila Prabhupada prayed to his spiritual master about his spiritual master that his desire is powerful. The desire of the devotee is powerful. Because, as you say, Krishna has feeling for his devotee. So the devotee's desire is powerful. And therefore, when the devotee desires, it's mentioned that one of the ways that someone becomes Krishna conscious, it's mentioned in the devotion, simply by the desire of the devotee. The devotee is desiring that this person, this boy should become Krishna conscious. And by that desire, even we have experience, our book distributors, you know, they're praying to Krishna, please let him take a book. And he takes a book. Because the devotee is so much desiring that this person will take a book or this person will chant, say Hare Krishna. Krishna encourages the person from all the heart. Yeah, take a book, it won't hurt you. So the desire, Taraj Chabaldava, the desire of a pure devotee is very powerful.
I just had one question as far as your lectures, Maharaj. Do you have a website where we can continue to hear live lectures?
Oh, and the website to log on to is. my site is jswami.info. There's not much there, I think, in terms of audio files. There's another site. There's some of them are on iskandesiretreat.com. That's a good site because you'll get better lectures than mine there. Is it Library 108 where he's still putting it? You can try library108.com. I think. Well, the system is I record them and I send them to my grand disciple in Holland, and he puts them on, I think it's library108.com. And Vaishnav Seva Prabhu at ISKCON Desire Tree is asking me if I can send lectures there, so I'll find out about that.
I did have a question about karma. When you talk about, I know loving exchanges among devotees, one of them is giving gifts and receiving gifts, and when you're again affiliated to some degree with family, not from a mother's perspective, because that seems to be a different category, just in general, and your birthdays and graduations, and you'd love to give them the Bhagavad Gita, but you know that's not going to be acceptable. So what is the danger for ourselves giving these gifts, knowing it's Lakshmi, it's not going back to Krishna, at least not at this moment? What's the danger of us types of
duty-bound
gifts, loving
gifts? Yeah, give them some prasadam.
Yeah. So
give them a great big garland that's been offered to the deities. Nobody gives them that. Yeah, give them a garland, give them prasadam, give them a CD. There's lots of Krishna conscious gifts that you can give.
And if we do the other little toy or it's
ordinary.
Yeah, I know it is.
It's ordinary. You know, we, as a matter of ordinary, social interaction, so we send something or do something. Just like Prabhupada would see someone pass by someone and Prabhupada would say, good morning. So that's an ordinary thing, but the person would say back, good morning. That's apparently a mundane interaction. You know, Prabhupada didn't say chant Hare Krishna, just say good morning. But because the person answers back, good morning, so the person's wishing the devotee to have a good morning, so he gets spiritual credit.
This may just be silly, but I just wonder if you have anything to say or any insight into how we can beat the mind 1,000 times of a shoe. I mean, do you know what I mean?
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Even when the mind interferes with that, just stay on it.
And the big shoe is Sankirtan.
Like my body, I'm chanting, my tongue, but I feel like I'm not with that. I feel that my mind is wandering someplace else. That happens, it's okay.
It happens all the time, that our tongue is in one place and our mind is in another. So Krishna says, wherever the mind may go, bring it back. The mind will definitely, that's its nature. Chanchala astiram, it goes here and there. Tatastito niyamyaita. Krishna says, bring it back, bring it back. This is our practice, to chant Hare Krishna with attention. So the mind wanders. It's not there are some meditation systems where their system is to let the mind wander wherever it wants to go, and that's not our system. We see the mind is wandering, we say, hey, get back here. Hare Krishna, you're supposed to be hearing. Okay. Yes.
About Trinada Pisane Chena, I was thinking that the nature of the grass is that he can take it, but the same thing, if you say Trinada Pisane Chena for the thorn trees, it's not his nature, but it's not possible.
Therefore,
for
Lord Chaitanya said to become like the grass. He didn't say become like these trees that can't take it. And naturally it's not easy. Somebody makes an unkind remark to us and we're thinking about it the rest of the day, and we snap back and well, let me tell you what I think. But Lord Chaitanya advises that we try to become like the grass. The grass is our role model. All right. Okay, last.
I was just wondering, is it a sign of lack of maturity in Krishna consciousness, or maybe impersonalism, that to actually feel a distaste for material life, and even when engaged in with devotees and preaching and everything, there's so many material things that come up that actually becomes so painful.
That's a sign of maturity.
Yeah.
We're preaching, we're with devotees, and the devotees start talking about some mundane topic, and we say, that's good. Why do we want to?
Just also a question about the Maharaj's topics. I didn't have a chance to ask him, but since it's all related in this conference, I really appreciated hearing all these glorious pastimes where Krishna was involved saving the devotees. And then, but it comes to a point where you just feel so much pain for all the suffering of the material world, and the suffering for the Pandavas, and also there was a description of Abhimanyu, how much he was, all that he went through. And so in the spiritual world, well, I guess my question is, when these people died in front of Krishna, were some of them transported to the spiritual world and some of them went to different destinations?
And they all attained liberation one way or another, anyone who died in the presence of Krishna.
And then once they go to the spiritual world, all these warriors and fighters and everything, in the spiritual world there's no wars, there's no demons.
Yeah, maybe you have to come back. It gets boring in the spiritual world, no fighting. There's no problem. Anyone who goes to the spiritual world, it's not that because I'm a fighter in this world. Of course, first thing is that the demons may not go to the Krishna planet. They may attain impersonal liberation. And after attaining impersonal liberation, then back. But those who attain the spiritual world, just like Bhishma Dev, so it's not that because he attains the spiritual world, he has to be a fighter in the spiritual world. That's temporary. Someone who's a yogi, now that because you were a yogi, you were practicing pranayama, and you attained, say, meditated on Krishna, attained the spiritual world, not that when you go to the spiritual world, you have to do pranayama there. But one attains his eternal position.
But the subtle body...
There is no subtle body. The subtle body stays here, or it's dissolved.
One of the sub-rasas being the chivalrous rasa in the spiritual world, how is that fulfilled in...
Oh, there's lots of fighting. Actually, now that I think of it, there's lots of fighting in the spiritual world, too. Krishna fights with his friends. And that's the small fight. The big friend fights with his girlfriends. There's fighting in the spiritual world also. But it's a different kind of fighting.
So there's no blood and guts and gore. Is there so much?
No, there's no death and no blood and gore in the spiritual world.
Okay, it's good to hear.
Well, we have to call it quits. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. Glorious to Srila Prabhupada.